Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Marriott is getting tough on cancellations, and another airline tells SeaWorld thanks, but no thanks.
Look, if you've ever thought about taking a cruise on the Mississippi River, we have a first-person report from road reporter Clayton Whitehead at 3:15.
At 3:35, we have the story of an Anaheim restaurant owner who feeds 1,200 homeless kids a night. That's right, 1,200 a night, and has placed 60 hotel families in real homes, proving one man can make a difference.
Speaking of making a difference, Mark, a lady on the Oregon coast has created a way for your trash to become amazing works of art. That's coming up at 3:50.
We have some really great stories to be told today on Sacramento's Fun Radio Hour. You're with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. It's a fabulous Sunday afternoon. We're here every Sunday at 3. I'm Tom Romano. To my left, the big boss, Mark Hoffman. Mark, welcome to a fabulous edition of The Travel Guys. A lot of good stuff today on the show.
Yeah, we have a really interesting program today. I mean, we're talking about the Mississippi River, and then we're going to go up on the Oregon coast and find out about this amazing new art gallery up there. With this lady's collected all his trash off the beach, and the gentleman from Anaheim, Bruno Serrato, who's going to join us after the news break at the bottom of the hour. Now, I have to warn you, Bruno has a little bit of a pretty heavy Italian accent, but this man has such an amazing story to tell you. He runs a restaurant, and he feeds 1,200 homeless kids a night, and that's only part of what he does. And I mean, just imagine if you got up every day knowing that not only did you have life to face, but you had to take care of feeding 1,200 people before the sun went down at the end of the day.
So. And running a great Italian restaurant right there in the City of Angels in Anaheim.
Absolutely. An amazing, really and truly, forget the story about the kids and all the things that this man is doing on his own. The food and the presentation and stuff of his restaurant is called the Anaheim White House. And anyway, you're going to hear all about that after the news break at the bottom of the hour. We also today, we have, Tom, some tickets to give away to the ballet. Remember we had the ballet folks on a couple weeks ago?
Which ballet is it again?
This is The Great Gatsby.
Okay.
And they were talking about this. Prelude to the Season was held this past Tuesday night. By the way, a shout out to Michelle Alexander and all the folks at the Arts and Business Council. It was fun to be a little part of that event again. And Rob Stewart from Rob on the Road at KVIE was the MC. Did a wonderful job. And they actually had some of the folks from The Great Gatsby there to do a little bit of a performance.
Oh, cool.
For us, for the assembled crowd at Prelude to the Season at the Doubletree on Tuesday night. And so that was fun. And Barbara Crowder, who's had a dance studio in this town forever, I think somebody said she's 90 years old and won the Lifetime Achievement. It was just a wonderful evening. Anyway, we have some tickets, Tom, to The Great Gatsby. So if you stay with this program,
there you go,
until the end of the hour, we're going to tell you how you can get these tickets. We've got two tickets for Thursday, two for Friday, and two for Saturday. So if you're a ballet fan and you've never been before, or you're a huge ballet fan, you go all the time and you don't have tickets yet for The Great Gatsby, this is the 23rd, 24th, and 25th. So stay tuned. And at the end of the program, you're going to have an opportunity to win free tickets to go to the ballet.
We are the Travel Guys, and we always start the program off with the travel news. And boy, this was a busy week for travel news. So let's call on the Travel Guys band. My favorite band. That's why it's the Travel Guys travel news music.
Because it's amazing how they sound exactly the same every week.
I know. Here's Mark Hoffman now with the travel news. Mark, what do you got for us?
Well, okay. I mentioned in the headlines that another airline has told the folks at SeaWorld that they're going to end their relationship. Southwest dropped SeaWorld just about a month and a half ago, and Virgin America has now dropped SeaWorld from its Elevate Rewards program, which lets customers earn points towards travel and other items by spending money at the parks. So you can no longer earn Virgin America points at SeaWorld, as the airline has just decided that it's better to move on.
Is this Mark, I have to ask you, is this is this a fallout over the whole situation with the killer whale shows?
Yeah, it absolutely is. I think it just took a little while. If you remember in the spring when that was all really in the news almost every day, Southwest said, you know, just we have a relationship with these people and a business arrangement, and when it expires, we'll review it. Well, it was to expire in only a few months, as we told folks at the time, so that's why Southwest was kind of playing it cool. And now I think that since Southwest has pulled back, I'm not surprised to see Virgin America take the same course.
Now, I want folks to not get confused. We are known as iHeartMedia, and the big heart that they put on the bottom side of the Southwest planes to take the place of the whale relationship, it has nothing to do with us as a company. We didn't buy Southwest as of yet. You notice that they got the big heart right on the belly there,
iHeartRadio. Yep.
Okay.
Free bags fly here. Listen, on the website this week, we have some, there is a link to all of this. There are five new smartphone apps, travel apps that you could give a shot at. There's one called Pennies. There's another one called Mint. There's one called Push. One of them is kind of interesting. This one's called My Flight, Tom. It allows airline passengers to crowdsource wait times at different airports. Basically, you're in a security line in Denver, let's say, and it's 30 minutes long. You go on the site and say the security on the west end of the terminal in Denver is 30 minutes long. Well, then, so if you're going into the Denver terminal, you log on and see what other information. It's all people who are sharing information with each other.
This stuff works really well. I have an app like that, but it's for how long the lines are at Disneyland.
And really?
Yeah, it works really great. You can find out almost to the minute how long the line is at the Indiana Jones ride when you're all the way on the other side of the park. So
wow,
same thing.
Awesome
it's these people are sharing this information. This is great. I'm going to get that app.
Well, this is five smartphone apps, and so if you're a techie person, why just go on to TravelGuysRadio.com, and you can pull up. You can see, get links to all five of them there in the article, and you can, if you're a tech person, you're in tech heaven. A couple of stories with Marriott Hotels, which has been in the news, of course, with the gratuity envelopes for the housekeepers recently. Good news, bad news from Marriott this week. Good news, coming to a Marriott hotel near you, wireless charging. It appears as though Marriott, they're starting this at 29 Marriott hotels. This month, you will be able to charge your cell phones, laptops, and tablets wirelessly in the hotel lobbies.
Okay.
Is that kind of a cool thing?
You won't
need your charger anymore. You'll just be able to go into the lobby, and there will be the pads and stuff that you can just set your gadget on, and it will power up. It will power up. You can even use it while it's charging. So a nice service that Marriott is doing. And of course, anything that gets people into the lobby maybe gets them eating and drinking. And of course, those revenues are an important part of a hotel's overall profit picture. And the bad news from Marriott Hotels, as we mentioned in the headlines, they are changing their cancellation policy starting January the 1st of next year. No more day of arrival cancellations. It's been pretty standard policy over the years in the hotel industry to allow people to cancel a reservation until 4 or 6 o'clock on the day of arrival. Some resorts and stuff have kicked that back to make it a day before, or a couple, or even 3 days before. That's usually pretty understandable. They're not going to resell that space on that short of a notice. But for just the average hotel on the street to say you can't cancel your room after midnight of the day before is kind of an interesting proposition. Marriott has said, look, demand for lodging is at an all-time high, and across the industry, more rooms are being occupied than ever before. We expect that 2015 will be another record-breaking year, which means it's now a good time to modify our reservation cancellation policy to help hotels better manage their inventory. And I guess there's something to be said about this, Tom. If you cancel a hotel room at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, doesn't leave the hotel with a whole lot of time to be able to resell that accommodation.
Now, you're talking about the day that you're checking in?
The day that you check in, yeah.
I must be misinformed. I always thought, in fact, most of the reservations I've made, when I read about, you know, the not-so-fine print, really, usually says that you've got to cancel within 24 hours of your check-in. And I do think that you're putting hotel in a bit of a bind if you're canceling the same day, maybe only an hour before your check-in. It, like you say, doesn't leave them much time to repurpose that room.
Unless somebody's just walking in off the street, no, the answer is no. But that has been the policy for many years. Now, I will tell you that, you know, as a frequent traveler, I suppose it helps if you have some status at the hotel, but if you call the hotel directly and you're nice to the person at the other end and you say, look, you know, my flight has been canceled and I'm not going to get there, or my car broke down or whatever. But if you tell them that your flight is canceled, these people are not stupid anymore. So you got to be prepared. The guy may ask you, what airline were you flying and what flight number?
Right.
So you better be prepared to give him that information, and it better be accurate, because he's probably going to go to the website. He's probably been told by his boss, you know, if somebody wants to cancel a reservation and their flight was really truly canceled, then we'll cancel it and we won't charge them. But if they call and give us some song and dance and they're not telling us the truth, then we're going to hit them for the room cost. So this is kind of a combination of things. It's hotels probably tightening up something. I've always been amazed that rental car companies don't charge people for no-shows. Or you don't ever have to cancel a rental car if you just don't show up and get it. Why, you know, they have to repurpose it to somebody else. And that hardly seems like a fair arrangement. So probably what Marriott is doing here is long overdue. Hopefully for folks who are still in last minute situations, they'll still be able to call with some nice kind words, be able to get out of a reservation. But Marriott is just saying, look, you know, we have to be able to resell these rooms and hotel lodging accommodation occupancy rates are pretty high right now. So we're going to take advantage of it. I guess I can't blame them too much for that, but it is a very consumer-friendly policy that is being changed.
There you go. Be aware.
And that's the travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys on KFBK. We're going to go a little river cruising here with Mark Hoffman's buddy Clayton Whitehead, part of the Travel Guys radio program, and that's going to be just around the corner in about 3 minutes, right here on KFBK 93.1 FM and 1530 AM. We'll be back.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
You're tuned to the Travel Guys on KFBK. I'm Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman to my left. The program brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. If you've seen him on Channel 6 all the time, he's everywhere. He's Clayton Whitehead, but not only is he a celebrity on KVIE Channel 6 television worth watching, he's also Mark's partner at Sports Leisure Vacations. Hi, Clayton. How you doing?
Hey, Tom. Great to be on the show.
Thanks. Mark, you say that Clayton just got back from another riverboat trip.
Just took off on the American Queen, wasn't it, Clayton?
It absolutely was. On the Upper Mississippi, as they call it, that means north of St. Louis, was stunning. Beautiful fall foliage and just a real sweet part of the river.
I know most people generally, when they think of taking a riverboat on the Mississippi River, they think of the Deep South and the Antebellum homes and all of that stuff. What made you decide in this case that the upper part of the Mississippi was a better choice?
Well, the lower Mississippi is certainly, I think, where people's minds go, because that's what Mark Twain wrote about. And certainly destinations like Vicksburg and Natchez and New Orleans are beautiful destinations. But the river, sadly, is not very beautiful in the southern part. The scenery never changes. It's flat. It's muddy. And when you look out to the right or the left, or maybe I should say port or starboard, all you see are levees. But all that changes when you get north of St. Louis. The elevation changes, beautiful limestone bluffs and rolling hills line the river, beautiful little towns, great fall foliage, so much history, and an extraordinary sense of pride, which I think really takes everyone by surprise. Most folks probably wouldn't think of going to Minnesota or Wisconsin or Iowa as a vacation at all, much less for a fall foliage destination, but it's just an extraordinary part of the world. The little towns along the river are well kept. their history is well presented. They're clean. The sense of pride is so high. And the locals truly love showing them off to the riverboaters who come to see them two or three times every year.
Sounds wonderful. Tell us a little bit about the riverboat itself, the American Queen. Was the service good? How was the food?
Never been better. Now, the American Queen was built by the Delta Queen Steamboat Company back in 1995. So she's been in the water a while, and this is her fourth ownership. So she's had a few bumps, if you can have bumps on a river, in terms of changing ownership and changing management. But now this is her third season, owned and operated by the Hornblower line. And most folks are probably familiar with the Hornblowers in San Francisco and L.A. and New York and Chicago, a great fleet of day trip boats, meal boats. And they've really put their expertise and their high level of hospitality to work on the American Queen. The meals are wonderful. Wine and beer is included with the dinners. And also, very interestingly, they took away one of their big profit centers. They no longer sell shore excursions. They're all complimentary in every town. Now, they do have a few premium shore excursions available for folks who have perhaps been there before and want a little bit more of a enhanced or a personalized experience. But the general city tour in every single port of call is included. And that's just an amazing, amazing surface. It makes you want to get off the boat and go and explore, and that's exactly what these little towns want you to do.
Now, this trip that you're talking about, Clayton, this is one of the Sports Leisure Vacations outings for you, Mark, and for Clayton. Either one can answer this. Tell us what trip this is, when it begins and when it ends, how many days, and what it's all about.
This cruise was 9 days long. We began in the port of St. Paul up in the Twin Cities of Minnesota, and we ended in St. Louis. And this is a run that they do two or three times every fall for the northern Mississippi. Now, my cruise ended on Saturday. We got off in the morning, and a new group of folks got on that afternoon, and they were going to turn and go up the Ohio River as far as Louisville or maybe even Cincinnati and do a fall foliage trip up and down that river. And then as we move into the winter months, you know, the weather's beginning to change. In fact, we even had snow flurries in Minneapolis the night of our arrival. But for the winter months, the boat will stay primarily in the lower waters, doing round trips out of New Orleans or between New Orleans and Memphis.
Sounds like a wonderful trip, Clayton. Thanks for the recap. If you're thinking about a trip on the Mississippi River, we'll put a link to the American Queen's website. No current scheduled trips for Sports Leisure Vacations, but I know Clayton is planning on going back to the Deep South on the riverboat probably in 2016. Clayton, thanks for the update. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark and Tom.
And we are the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, it's time for a little housekeeping. What do you got for us?
Well, I've got the winning Sports Leisure Traveler for this week. As you know, every week we award someone who's been on vacation with us a $50 gift card. And if they hear their name on the radio, give us a call. It doubles to $100. The winner this week was on the Albuquerque Hot Air Balloon Fiesta trip that just got back a few days ago, Irene Potter. So, Irene, if you're listening on the radio or you have a friend who fills you in, why, give us a call, and your $50 gift card will magically double and turn into $100.
Mark, you know, it's with people traveling and all that's going on in the news now with the Ebola virus, I know that that's affecting affecting people's travel plans and certainly the how they feel about their travel plans. How is that affecting you, your travelers with Sports Leisure Vacations?
Well, that's a great question, Tom. So far, it has, you know, I know everybody is concerned about it, but so far it hasn't affected business at all. People are still signing up for trips and they're still planning their travels and their vacations. I'm sure that everybody has a nervous eye on this. And certainly as someone in the travel industry, I have more than a nervous eye on it. Sleep becomes increasingly difficult each night, but we're watching it very closely. And it has not had an impact on business as of yet. I talked to someone in American Airlines in Sacramento on earlier this week, and they told me that they had seen no noticeable difference in bookings, some people asking questions. But so right now I think it's kind of a wait-and-see thing. The one thing I'm hoping is that our friends, our compatriots in the news media there, including the folks at iHeartMedia at KFBK, will consider the fact that every time they go out with some sensational thing, they got to be careful and make sure that it's real news and really confirmed, because before they scare the heck out of everybody and then 30 minutes later find themselves backpedaling. So it's just, I'm hoping everybody will use responsibility and restraint and report the news and keep people informed, and we'll deal with it as it comes along.
And you know, Mark, with that being said, I feel that KFBK is extremely responsible as a news outlet, and I can assure our listeners that all stories that you hear on KFBK are vetted out and are checked out in completely before we air them. So you can be sure that you'll be getting factual news when you hear it here on KFBK.
We're dependent on you guys for that. Thank you. All right, we have some tickets to give away. I talked about this top of the hour. Now, the tickets are not going to be given away until we get ready to sign off, so you got to hang around until 3:58, 3:59.
You're baiting me.
We have two tickets to see the Great Gatsby Ballet by the Sacramento Ballet for Thursday the 23rd, two for Friday the 24th, and two for Saturday the 25th. So stay tuned at the end of the program if you'd like to go to the ballet and not have to pay your way in. We have some tickets. After the news break, we're going to come back and introduce you to our friend Bruno, who runs a restaurant in Anaheim that not only is a great restaurant, but he has an amazing human interest story to share with you. And then we're going to tell you about a wonderful place up on the Oregon coast that makes art out of garbage. So the Travel Guys are rolling along.
All that and more coming up. Keep it here. We are the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK 1530 AM 93.1 FM. Listening to the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman to my left. And from time to time on our show, we do more than just talk about travel and fun stuff and places to go. We spend a little bit of time talking about those that that give back to their communities. And Mark has run across a real interesting gentleman in a program that I think you're going to be very interested in. Mark, why don't you tell us a little bit about our guest today?
Well, and in this case, Tom, it's someplace where you can support through your travels, a restaurant in Southern California that is doing some really amazing things. And as I had told Bruno before we started the interview, I had eaten in the restaurant many, many years ago and enjoyed a wonderful meal there. And in recent years, had heard about some of the things that they have done in the community. So it is a pleasure to welcome Bruno Serrato. Bruno, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Buongiorno, buongiorno. Ciao to everybody.
Bruno is you're the owner, is that right, Bruno?
Yeah, I'm the owner and chef of the restaurant, the Anaheim White House.
The Anaheim White House, which has been in business for how long, Bruno?
I'm the owner for over 27 years.
27 years. So it is a landmark. It's not the easiest place to find. You kind of have to know where you're going and stuff like that. We're going to put a link on travelguysradio.com. So if you, at the end of this interview, if you say, well, this is some place I need to look at. Tom, let me just tell you, before we talk about the things that Bruno and his people do behind the scenes, let me tell you how you know that you've taken one of your groups, one of my sports leisure groups, to a good restaurant.
Okay.
When people are sitting in the restaurant and they are sending smartphone pictures back to their friends of the food that they're eating as the food is served to them, that's the kind of food they serve at this restaurant. It's not only wonderful to eat, but it's spectacular to look at. The presentation is just phenomenal.
Yeah, that's absolutely a good sign. You can always tell that it's special when you see people literally, instead of taking pictures of one another, taking pictures of your food, Bruno.
Yeah, I know. It's a trendy of the few years, you know, and we really work on the presentation very highly. And beside the quality, presentation must be also a touch different than other restaurants for people to say, like, wow, and I like the wow factor. And we'll be having a lot of them, which is very beautiful.
Bruno, the restaurant has a couple of reaching out programs to the community. And people who follow CNN's Hero Award every Thanksgiving may recall this because you were a part of this a couple of years ago. You serve 300 children a night, 7 nights a week in the Orange County area is one of your programs. Bruno, tell us a little bit about how your restaurant got into the catering business for a large portion of the Orange County community. Tell us about this program.
Yeah, well, it was 300. Now we are at 1,200 a day. I mean, you probably
1,200 a day?
Yeah, we 1,200 children a day. That's what we do.
Good
but
let me
start from the beginning. It was like April 18, 2005. And my mom was here from Italy on vacation. And after lunch, after an espresso, I say, Mom, let's go to the Boys Girls Club of Anaheim. I want to see some of the children in the area because my mom had seven kids on her own and she loved kids. We went to the Boys Girls Club. It was a bunch of children. And the director told me that one of the kids was a motel kid. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, the child who live in a motel with family, they reside in a motel. In fact, for the state of California, they are considered homeless because they move day to day, week to week, or month to month. He said, the kids, when you go back home tonight, they will have most probably no dinner because in a motel room, you have no kitchen. Mom cannot even cook for him if you want to. On top of it, a lot of the motel family, you have a prostitution, drug addict, drug dealer, pedophile, which is the darkest environment of a motel, are in a motel area in America. And my mom told me, why don't you feed him a plate of pasta? And I said, well, you're right. And we went back to the restaurant, we feed a plate of pasta, came back to the club, give the pasta to the kid. The director came to me and said, Bruno, we don't have one kid. Tonight we have a 20, 30 kids minimum. Well, I went back to the restaurant, prepared for 20 more kids. And that was the first day, almost 10 years ago. We have nonstop. We've been doing that every day, 7 days a week for almost 10 years. But we don't serve 20 kids. Like I just say, now we are over 1,200 kids every single day.
Bruno, how in the world do you, you're running a restaurant also. How do you serve, how do you prepare the food and serve it? Your staff was telling me about trucks and fixing between meal services. And how does this all work? How can you serve 1,200 kids a day?
Myself and my kitchen crew, we start early in the morning, prepare the marinara sauce. We get almost like a 50 gallon of sauce because we need a lot of sauce to prepare for 1,200 kids. We start to prepare the pasta. We have probably 70 pounds of pasta every day that we prepare. We get in ready by 3:30, 4 o'clock afternoon. Everything has to be ready because I get 5-6 cars come to pick them up. We are in 5 cities in Orange County, 15 locations. I mean, it's a lot of work, but it's my commitment, and I've been doing that for almost 10 years. And next year, at the beginning of next year, we're going to be ready to serve the meal number 1 million. We already surpassed the 750,000 meals served, and the next 4 or 5 months, we're going to be at the 1 million mark, which is, I don't think it's that difficult. There's a lot of work, a lot of commitment. It's just like I ask people to donate the tomato sauce, spaghetti, pasta. When I have a customer, come for dinner, I say, you know, when you come for dinner, you have a good time, have a nice dinner, nice bottle of wine. Why don't you bring some pasta and tomato sauce for the children as a donation? I mean, to make you feel good. Yes, you can go out for dinner, but at the same time, you're feeding children. And that's the reason, and I say, each time that a customer walks to my restaurant, he's helping me to feed in a kitchen himself.
Our guest is Bruno Serrato, the owner of the Anaheim White House Restaurant here on the Travel Guys. A massive amount of not only people power, but also the physical food. It comes from your customers. I understand from your staff that, that a radio station, KFI, in Los Angeles also helps you during the holiday season?
Yeah, KFI is going to be in November 25th this year. Every year it does a radiothon for 15 hours for the restaurant. We start at 4 a.m. till 11 p.m. And we can collect like 5,000 pounds of tomato sauce, 5,000 pounds of pasta. And last year we also raised $140,000 of donation of people send donation to our fundraiser, to our charity. We have a 501c, because as you can tell, you know, like the whole project is expensive to feed 1 million kids. And like you mentioned earlier, I have a new program. Then it's called Welcome Home, that we just started a few years ago. I realized that after feeding the kids at 5:30 p.m. when we send them to the motel kids, I was never really too happy about it because I knew where the children go back, right? They go back to a motel area, which all the darker society are. And I started to investigate why these people are stuck in the motel room. Well, besides the bad people, you also have a amazing, great family, you know, American family who lost job, who lost work because of the economy. They get stuck in a motel room, and they want to get out ASAP. The only problem is when you lose everything, job, home, and every because of the economy, how can you save $4,000-$5,000 down payment for deposit to coming out of the motel room? Well, I decided to jump on this case and start to qualify family. I mean, if you have a job for at least 6 months, you have two kids minimum, you clean cut, no drug, anything else, you know, I will come up with a deposit first and last month and move you out to a apartment where you're looking for it, you find it, you can afford. Because these people, when they stay in a motel room, it's not cheap. They have to pay 30, 40, 50 bucks a night. The only problem, like, they can't afford the rent. They cannot afford the deposit. Usually it's between $3,000-$4,000 per family. In the last 2 years, we already moved 60 families, which is over 400 people. And what you do when you do that, first of all, you give security to the kids, emotionally, mentally, and safety. Because the longer the children stay in the motel room, the longer they are exposed to drug addicts, drug dealers, etc. And you know that sooner or later they're going to be end up in the same category of people. I mean, it's better to help the family for the safety of the children. And I love this program because not only we feed them, but now we also protected their life. And this is the new American generation. And it is a must thing to do.
The ability to be able to coordinate this is amazing. Even though you have a lot of donations, there's got to be a lot of expenditure out of your pocket as well.
Well, the first 6-7 years, I was paying on my own. I was paying everything. It was an average of $40,000-$50,000 a year, I think. But after 2009, when I lost 30% of my business in my restaurant because of the economy, I could not afford anymore. And I was ready to stop the project because I was getting broke myself. I refinanced my house to keep going. And I was very concerned about my personal life, too.
Mm-hmm.
But CNN picked me as a CNN hero. And I got featured on KD Curry, CBS Evening News, People Magazine, etc. And that was good to help me to get a donation. But for the first 6 years, I think I spent over $500,000 on my own pocket alone because I was feeling it was the right things to do. And I'm so glad now with the donation because if I did not have that, no way I could keep doing because the restaurant business lost 20-30% because of the economy situation.
Our guest is Bruno Serrato. Bruno is the owner and the chef at the Anaheim White House Restaurant, very near Disneyland, for those of you who are headed that direction sometime in the foreseeable future. If you want to enjoy a really phenomenal meal, it does not come at a cheap price. This is not a fast food restaurant. This is a wonderful fine dining restaurant with a great menu and food that is prepared and presented in a way that truly will make you want to take pictures of it and send it to your friends. And the other good thing, Tom, now you've heard this story, so mm-hmm. Is this not one of the best stories that you could possibly hear?
This is great. I am, you know, clearly this one got by me. I'll be down there in the last part of October, Bruno, and if at all possible, I will come by and look you up and say hi, okay? And have a meal.
If you're there by the right time, I can make you come to serve the kids with me.
That would be great.
By 4 o'clock afternoon, we have a 15 location in 5 cities, but there's one not too far away from the restaurant. If by any chance you're there, like early afternoon, like 4 o'clock, I can take you with me. We can serve the Boys Girls Club of Anaheim because, like I told you, we have different locations. But I love to make people do that with me. At least they can see with their own eyes what we do. And that's the best way to teach people, you know.
That would be awesome.
Tom, you go into the restaurant, and really and truly, there right at the reception area is a table where people during the day have been leaving pasta and spaghetti sauce and the like. So it's an ongoing thing every day. It's really pretty cool. So I hope that the folks who are listening out here, it's the Anaheim White House. There was a link to it on our website at Travel Guys Radio. But the next time that you are headed that way, you need to make this one of the places that you dine because you're not only going to enjoy a great meal, but you're also going to be helping out a lot of kids in the community. Imagine that 60 families that used to live in hotels now have actual places to call a home. That is really an amazing program.
Yeah, I do love this program because it's attached to the first one to feed them, and now you give a safety. I mean, when you get 7, 8, 9 people sleep in one bedroom, and some of the kids do homework sitting on the toilet because it's the quietest place. It's not an environment and you want your children to live on it. And I'm glad, and between me and the donation, we are capable to do a major difference to all this family.
Thank you, Bruno. You are a true hero to well, thousands at this point. And thank you so much for spending some time with us on The Travel Guys.
It's my pleasure. Thank you. And as we say in Italian, ciao.
We are The Travel Guys on News Radio 1530 KFBK. More to come.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops.
Mark and Tom here on The Travel Guys on KFBK. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano. Program brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And if you've listened to the show more than once, you know that Mark is a big fan of the Pacific Northwest. And for good reason. There's just all kinds of great things to see and do. And once in a while, Mark shows up again with something we've never heard of. Mark?
I hope this fits that category today. This is called Washed Ashore. You're going to find it in Bandon, Oregon. Basically, they take trash that is washed up on the beach and turn it into amazing pieces of art. And they have a gallery in Bandon. And that is where Angela Hazeltine Pazzi, who is the founder and the artistic director and the head cook and bottle washer, I suspect she probably sweeps the floor at the end of the day, is joining us now on The Travel Guys. Welcome, Angela.
Hi there.
Tom, I first got to this place and Angela last year. We were there on Christmas Eve with a group of Sports Leisure travelers. It had been recommended to me by the Oregon tourism people because they said this is something that is just really cool and different. And I have to just absolutely tell you that this is the most wonderful place. There'll be a link to their website on Travel Guys Radio if you want to follow along, or go to washedashore.org, O-R-G, if you want to see a little bit about the website. Angela, where did you decide that other people's garbage could be your way in life?
Well, it all stems from loving the ocean and spending every summer of my childhood and even my adult life coming to the Oregon coast and walking the beaches and really just seeing the beauty of the ocean. And when I came here about 10 years ago, I started seeing more and more garbage on the beaches, and I just thought, what is going on? How could this possibly be that this gorgeous place is being destroyed by garbage on the beaches? And it didn't look like litter to me, so I didn't really understand what it was about, and I just was horrified and really sick to my stomach about it. And I thought, you know, I really got to find a way to help this situation. And I had just come off of a kind of a hard time in my life. I'd lost my first husband to a brain tumor and was trying to start my life over again and trying to find a purpose. And I thought, you know, if I could save the ocean, that'd be a pretty good reason to stay alive and do things in the world. And I thought, how can I do that? And I was raised by artists. I had been an art teacher for 30 years. I'd been an exhibiting artist of my other kind of recycled materials. And then I just thought, well, what if I could just clean up this whole beach with lots and lots of people helping me? And I use all my years of teaching to gather people into workshops. And what if I got everybody to, you know, if we all did this together and if I could direct this and make really incredible sculptures that could tour the world, then we could save the ocean. So I thought I'd just get started, and I did.
Angela,
wow.
Angela, did you find that in the process of recruiting people to work your project was not as difficult as you thought?
Well, you know, it really wasn't, because Oregon has a long history of people caring about the environment and especially the ocean. And you know, all of our beaches in Oregon are all state parks. And so, you know, people have been picking up, going to the beach and picking up trash on the beaches just on their own. But I found that people were depressed by it. You know, they were like angry about the garbage on the beaches, and they'd just come back and they'd throw it in their trash bins. And I gave people an opportunity to actually get more excited about going to the beach and get more people interested in realizing that their picking stuff up could become an educational tool. And that's really what this project's about. It's about really using the arts as a medium for teaching about this tragedy in a way that people can actually get involved and not get discouraged.
You go into the gallery there in Bandon, And you see these amazing, and you can see some of them on the website. We've got some of them posted on travelguysradio.com. And you think to yourself, wow, you made that out of garbage in the ocean? It's just so phenomenal, the amazing things that you've been able to do with this, Angela. And now, you mentioned, alluded to it, now your art is being viewed in other places. Do I see it's being seen at SeaWorld, and it's on display two or three places around the country?
Yeah, we're actually reaching across the country over in spending a lot of time on the East Coast now. We've done quite a bit on the West Coast. Next week, we'll be flying out of here to install a huge exhibit at Mystic Aquarium in Mystic, Connecticut. And we just finished up a show in Virginia Beach, Virginia Beach Aquarium. And then we have interest from across the country, zoos and aquariums, all the way even in the Midwest where there's no ocean. People realize that the ocean's part of our very important ecosystem in the world. And these are all giant sculptures, just to let you know. Your radio viewers aren't seeing them, so let me just explain. We have like a tufted puffin that's 9 feet tall and, 5 feet wide, and all made out of garbage from the beaches. And we have a parrotfish that's 16 feet long and 10 feet tall. And all of the little parts of the sculptures are all made by community members. So tourists that come by, you get a chance to be part of the project. You get to say, I helped make that.
Awesome.
That's part of what's really important, is that everybody working together can make a difference. And that's part of our really strong message.
And 90% of the debris that you collect is petroleum-based plastic items and nylon ropes and nets and stuff. That's crazy.
Yeah,
it's really icky stuff, Tom. It's amazing that they're able to turn this into such amazingly attractive works of art, because it doesn't look like garbage. You have to get up really close to it to realize what they have taken and what they have done with this stuff.
Yeah, the idea is it's supposed to be beautiful and horrifying.
You have absolutely captured that. We're talking with Angela from Wash to Shore in Bandon, Oregon, which is an art gallery, started as an art gallery to display works of art created from garbage that had washed up on the beaches. And now you're at SeaWorld, you're going to Mystic, Connecticut. I would suggest to you that the marketplace for viewing these works of art around the country is pretty much unlimited, Angela. So maybe your little nonprofit will be a little bit larger nonprofit, and it'll be a little easier to pay the bills. We should mention to people that if you're interested in supporting a project like this, there's a way to do it by going to their website. And another way to do it would just be, when you're planning your Oregon vacation for next summer, you're driving up the coast, is to make sure. Bandon's a wonderful community, great golf courses. There's a great shopping and dining area down on the waterfront there. It's a small town like most of the towns along the Oregon coast. So if you're making a trip up the coast, make sure that you plan some time to stop in Bandon. There's a great candy store there. And check out Wash to Shore and go in and tell Angela that you heard about her on the Travel Guys. Thank you, Angela, for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Totally amazing. We've got a lady that we just visited with up there in Oregon who takes junk and turns it into art. And then a little while ago, we were talking with Bruno at the Anaheim White House, who feeds 1,200 hungry kids every day, day in and day out, 364 days a year. Amazing things that you run across when you're a travel show. Who would have thought?
Yeah, well, it's sometimes, I'll tell you what, Tom, I don't look at this as a travel show as much as I look at this as part of the journey. It's just we travel through life together. So whether it's down the street or around the corner, but two great stories. So you can listen to all of the stories on our show today. If you're just tuning in and you're wondering what we're talking about, the podcast for every show is posted on Tuesday. Go to travelguysradio.com. That's where you'll find all the links for all the guests on the show today and anything else that we talked about, including some other really interesting things that we didn't talk about, can be found there at travelguysradio.com. Now, we have some ballet tickets to give away here in the last minute of the program. We've been telling you about this all the whole hour. This is how you win. We have two tickets for this Thursday, two for Friday, two for Saturday. Curtain is at 7:30. It's the Great Gatsby, put on by the Sacramento Ballet. If you would like to win these tickets, you call right now, 921-1530, 800-834-1530. 921-1530, 800-834-1530, and the first three callers will win the tickets to the Sacramento Ballet. Good luck to you all.
There you go. Now make sure you can go on those nights before you call in and win, all righty?
Yeah, please don't ask for the tickets if you can't go, because you'll be keeping somebody else from going.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll be back next Sunday, same time, same place, 3 o'clock, another edition of the Travel Guys. And be sure to keep it here on KFBK throughout the week for Mark's travel tip of the week. All righty?
And Thomas, remember, next week is our very special Halloween show, all about ghosts and goblins, all next week on the Travel Guys.
You bet. Have a great week, my friend.